talk some Pac-12 football. No better guy to have in, the man who's at the hub of the conference when it comes to football and hoops. Follow on Twitter. The handle is at Mike_Yam. As always, repping the 201 from Jersey. Mike Yam, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, and I know if I get a call from you or a text message, that means it's go time. We are finally here at the start of the season, and the crazy thing, and you know this, there's all these unofficial starts, media day, training camp, right, whatever the case may be. Like, we legitimately get football tomorrow, so I'm super pumped.
And why wouldn't you be? And I know in your professional capacity at the Pac-12 Network, you follow football and hoops and a bunch of other sports. Yeah. But I know you also are a fan of the NBA and MLB. So I'm always, as we reach this point, the last week of August, early November, baseball's pennant chase morphing into college football season. How high up the list of your favorite times of the sports year is it?
Well, Steve, you mentioned the New Jersey 201 deal, so you should be very much aware of that. And, you know, I'm a Mets fan, so I'm really focused in on college football at this point, and got to shift my attention relatively quickly to that. But you're right. I mean, this is an awesome time of the year. You know, we were having the debates of, like, the best randomly in our office, like, best times of the year. Is it, you know, you got October, maybe even November, you know, with the NBA that's kicking up there. You got postseason baseball in the month of October. You got college football. I mean, there's also, you know, it's a great time. But for me, you know, there's just all this anticipation. I'm actually sitting right now at the field at Rice-Eccles in Salt Lake City, getting ready for doing a little walkthrough for our stuff for tomorrow. And it's crazy. You know, I'd asked a researcher, how many days has it been since Utah's last game? 246 days. You know, that's a long time to wait for the start of the season and the anticipation of a sport. You know, they're playing once a week. So to me, to your point, Steve, I mean, this is just a tremendous time.
Yeah, I will get to Utah, but I want to talk about an interesting offseason. You know, Chip Kelly to UCLA, the coaching change here. Herm Edwards to Arizona State, one of my favorite guys. I just always liked his moral compass. But, you know, the last time he coached in college, I was in my 20s. I'm now about to turn 58 with two grandkids. Mike, what's been the word from the people you've spoken about with this unique hire, and, you know, what the expectations are with Edwards and Tempe?
You know, one, you look great for 58. I never would have guessed that.
Two, thank you.
the expectation level for Herm, I think, is relatively high in Tempe. And you're right, it's been a while, but I think, to me, and you mentioned moral compass for him, and I think that's a good, you know, I've done enough radio shows and been around Herm long enough, and it's not a phrase that I think is commonly used, but, you know, when they hired him, was it a surprise? Yeah, absolutely, because it's been a really long time. I think the people who have been negative and, you know, kind of critical of the hiring, I think are doing themselves a disservice. Now, their schedule is absolutely brutal this year, but to me, Steve, you know, when you go back to the fact that at Pac-12 Media Day, there were five teams in that South Division that got a first-place vote, and ASU was not one of them, that was surprising to me. To me, UCLA would have been the team that I would have said didn't deserve a first-place vote based off of personnel. You got a fifth-year senior quarterback in Manny Wilkins. You got arguably the best wide receiver in the country in N'Keal Harry. And I get it, football is more than just two guys, but you got a fifth-year senior quarterback. Something tells me you're not going to be in last place in the division. But if I'm the rest of the league, and I got to know Herm working at ESPN with him, everyone points to him being this character, and he'll say some funny things. But if you talk to him one-on-one, he is arguably the most genuine person I've ever met. I'm not even talking about just in the business. So if I was another coach in the Pac-12, I would be concerned about Herm going into a living room. And you look at their recruiting classes the last couple of years, the struggles to get Southern California kids to Tempe, that was a real deal. You look at this signing period, and he had a short period of time to go and get some guys. He did pull some Southern California kids in there. Antonio Pierce is another guy that I got to work with, who was coaching, you know, some high school ball down there. He's now on that staff. He's got the pipeline, he's got the facilities, and he's got the charisma and personality. When you have success, and he did at the NFL level as a head coach, something tells me you just don't forget how to coach football.
You know, I saw your interview with, I want to get to the Huskies, their sophomore corner, Byron Murphy, who, by the way, he's just a crazy athlete. We see him slam dunking. But that defense, and I know Coach Peterson shook things up, and they now have Jimmy Lake calling the plays. So what you're hearing from UW, that decision, the kind of defense they expect to have, because they did have some struggles last year against Stanford, Utah in the bowl game. What's kind of the buzz of the kind of defense that they'll have to go with what I just anticipate is going to be a good offense?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned, and to me, I think the safer bet, and this is how good this team is, we could go back and forth on where you have more confidence. I have more confidence in the defense than I do maybe the offense, which is saying something, because you're really nitpicking at that point, because there's a couple question marks on offense about who the guy at the wide receiver spot is going to be, but I think they have plenty of candidates to be there, and I'm not concerned about it. I just think we need to wait and find out who that guy is going to be. But, you know, Stevie made reference to Murphy, who came on. I got to go to practice a couple weeks ago. I got to tell you, I don't know if I've ever seen, you know, I've been doing this at Pac-12 Network since our seventh season. I don't think I've ever seen a secondary that looks like what Washington has right now. And that's saying something, because they've put in some Sunday guys in that secondary the last couple years.
Right.
It's just pro after pro after pro. I would not be concerned about that side. Now, at least in terms of the secondary, I do have a little bit of concern about D-line, and it's not a huge concern, but when you lose, like, who's the elite pass rusher right now there for them? And I don't know if I necessarily know the answer based off the help, some of the things that you want to see, but I'm not concerned. I think that defense can certainly lead that team. And to your point, Jay Browning 2 years ago was sixth in the Heisman, but Miles Gaskin doesn't get nearly enough love. You know, you talk about changing plays or play callers with Coach Lake there now at that co-DC. Well, let's not forget about Bush Hamden, who brings some NFL experience now and takes over that offensive coordinator spot with Jonathan Smith, who's now at Oregon State. So I think you're going to see some wrinkles on both offense and defense in terms of that play calling.
Let's get a little closer to home as we continue with Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network. Oregon, for years, the staple of this program was stability. The two coaches until from 77 through 08, Chip Kelly. Now three coaches in 3 years. I've referred to Willie Taggart as the first ever one and done in Oregon history. Enter Mario Cristobal. You were there for Media Day, obviously. You've spoken with colleagues. What's kind of the buzz about the new guy running the Ducks?
Intensity. I actually was fortunate enough this summer to spend some time with Coach and his family and at a couple different events. And there's a different buzz in this conference. Number one, I give him a ton of credit, able to, after the one and done, Willie Taggart, you know, the staff is relatively the same. A couple guys that have now come into the fold, but for the most part, this is a staff that did a great job in terms of recruiting. They were able to maintain a lot of their guys. He's been crushing it as of late. You know, some of the commits that you keep hearing about, at least on social media, that are going to be heading to Eugene. So to me, the program's going in the right direction. The fact that they have a Sunday quarterback at the helm in Justin Herbert, that's huge for him. But just being at practice this year, it was interesting to me to see Cristobal spend as much time as he did, about 40% of the practice, if I had to guess, with the O-line. For as much as we've known Oregon and this brand to get up and down the field and the quick hitters, I do think you're going to see some of that stuff, but to me, I think what Cristobal wants to do is go back to his roots at Alabama when he was assistant for Nick Saban. I think he wants to smash the ball down your throat. So I would, and look, the running game has been certainly a huge piece of that offense the last couple of years, but you know, if you're starting to watch this team, number 73, 74, and 79, look at these freshmen on the O-line that they're going to have coming in. They are monsters. We're talking 380, 385, pushing 390 on that offensive line. He's building the program, you know, within the trenches, and to me, that signals just get ready for Utah style of play, Stanford style of play, and let's see if Oregon can kind of reshape and rethink what they've been doing offensively.
You know, when Chip Kelly was at Oregon, then he left Oregon and worked in the Pac-12, big splash. Comes back to college in the Pac-12, big splash. But man, you mentioned it. He's got a task. I mean, they lost the top 10 pick at quarterback. And out of the South, they face the consensus top three in the North and have to go to Oklahoma. You know, when you talk with your colleagues, be it Yogi or Curtis Conway and people around the country, what appears to be the, I guess, where people think Chip Kelly is going to be able to take this team year one with some serious obstacles?
It is all over the map. I think if you look at it objectively, there. It's great that Chip is there. I think he was the biggest get in the country at the coaching spot. And there's going to automatically be a buzz based off of the results and the success that he had in Eugene with the Ducks. I get that. But you look at the personnel. You mentioned some of the losses that they have there, and they have guys. I mean, say what you want about Jim Mora. You know, look at those recruiting classes. He was crushing it, especially on the defensive side. So I don't want to say that the cupboard is bare, but some of those guys just didn't produce and haven't produced. So to me, that's a little bit concerning. And the fact that, you know, offensively, I want to know, like, who's that big-time wide receiver that they have there? They got a great tight end in Caleb Wilson, who I think is on the short list, probably in the top three or four in the league, which is saying something in the Pac-12 at that tight end spot. Stanford's got a couple guys that are pretty talented. But I think Chip's going to have success. But in year one, like, we don't even know who's going to be their starting quarterback right now. And in this league, with the schedule that you just referenced, I don't know. You know, I think he's flirting with the same amount of losses that he had in his time, in his tenure. What was seven?
Yep.
In his time with the Ducks, like, I think he could be pushing that number in year one with UCLA.
Wow. Yeah. Well, 46-7 to 6-7, that would be an inauspicious start, Mike.
But I do think he'll take care of business. Like, and I think people are going to want to play for Chip, right? I mean, you know, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the DTRs, they're calling him, that quarterback coming out of Vegas that they got. I don't think he's a starter this year, but, you know, by all accounts, some people that I've talked to, he looks like he can be a stud at some point. Chip's people are going to gravitate towards Westwood.
Yeah, I'm going to be curious because you look at their depth chart now, quarterback. It's a lot of oars. USC interests me. And talking about quarterbacks, you know, theirs goes third in the draft. Their top running back, Ronald Jones, second round. Their leading wideout, Deontay Burnett, is in the NFL now. They got the big early game at Stanford. They have to go to Texas and Notre Dame. They are the favorite to win the South. But then we learn JT Daniels, the true freshman, wins the job. How interesting are they, and how legit you think they are as a contender to win the South, thus make the conference title game?
Completely legit. You mentioned some of the losses. You talk about Mitchell. Okay, cool. I'll give you Tyler Vaughn. How about Amon-Ron St. Brown, another young wide receiver who can certainly fill the void there. You mentioned Ronald Jones. Well, I think Stephen Carr is as good as there's going to be, in a really shifty back coming out of that backfield. Defensively, they're loaded with studs. You know, the question becomes, can JT Daniels manage these big moments? And he's won the starting quarterback job with this team. By all accounts, everyone that we've talked to, he's ready for the big moment. And I'll say this, for the people who are concerned about that often, I get it. But if you said to me, of all the Division I programs out there and every head coach in the nation, you can have JT Daniels and he could be your starting quarterback outside of a couple, you know, or at least have him on your roster, everyone would say yes and would jump at the opportunity to get a kid like that with that type of talent on their roster. Now, for USC, they just don't have the luxury of having them sit and watch a little bit and have a Sam Darnold in the fold right now. They throw him out there, but considering all the weapons that he's going to have and considering that that team arguably might be led by their defense, those are all really good signs that take the pressure off a young guy.
A couple final thoughts from Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network. You mentioned you're in Salt Lake City. I always thought it took the Utes a couple years to kind of get their Pac-12 footing. Then they had that great run where they won 9 games, 10 games, 9 games. We've got the most tenured coach in the league. They return a good backfield, 4 or 5 on the line. I know that they want a return to Sac Lake City. They did dip a little bit last year. Do you see them as the main threat to the Trojans in the South?
100%. And look, we had an opportunity to talk to a couple of their players and their coaching staff today. The scary thing is if you look at their roster, and I mentioned this to Kyle Whittingham at Media Day, it's almost like the team is built for next year and the year after. They're not loaded with seniors. This is a group that's heavy sophomore and junior. And to your point, it took a little bit of time for them to get those types of athletes here. But offensively, they got a guy in Tyler Huntley. Like, he's a dude. You know, you look at total yardage per game on average a season ago. It's Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. They were leading the conference. Well, the next guy on that list at almost 300 yards per game was Tyler Huntley.
Right.
He's an athlete. And every single one of their coaching staff, the players, including Tyler, when we got to talk to him this morning, all talk about his ability to stay on the football field and be healthy. You're going to see him in certain situations not try to grab that extra yard and take that big hit. He's working on sliding, not a baseball guy, as the coaches have told us before. But I think they are by far the biggest threat for USC. And the fact that SC right now is squarely in that top 25, I think they were 15th, to me, it's a slap in the face of Utah fans because I don't think there's a huge margin of difference between those two squads.
And I'll tell you, that's the homecoming game for the Utes, USC. That could be a dandy in October. And lastly, you mentioned the season's here. It's Wednesday. Utah opens tomorrow. Stanford, Colorado, Friday. Full slate Saturday. What can we expect to see coverage-wise with you and the rest of that great Pac-12 crew this first weekend?
Well, I am looking right now at Niall DeBurton and Yogi Roth, who are going to be on set with me. We are on the field as we speak. We were just doing a run through. You know, one of the cool things we're doing at Pac-12 Network this year, we're going to take our show on the road every single week. So we're starting with the opener tomorrow. We got full coverage 4 p.m. Pacific time on Pac-12 Network. Ashley Adamson's going to be with us as well. We got some surprise guests that are going to be stopping by, but we'll do pre-half and post for the Utah fans. And then as the season rolls, and I will say this, I can't say who it is because I was told, and I've actually been mistaken, and I've let kind of I wasn't supposed to say where we were going to go on some of these radio interviews. I didn't realize it was embargoed, so I messed up. So I can't tell you exactly, but for Oregon fans, trust me, if there's one game that you probably had circled on your calendar, pretty good chance that we're going to be there for it. So, and I had to beg, borrow, and steal to make sure that I was on that game.
Yeah,
so I am super thrilled for it.
Call me nuts, but I'm thinking November 3rd. But anyway, you tell Coach B and Yogi we said hi, two of our other favorite guys. And I guess I should advise you to use that miles card properly if you're going to travel. And again, check this guy out in the Pac-12 Network on Twitter at Mike_Yam. Mike, it's always fun. Appreciate your time and insight. And of course, as conference play kicks in, look forward to catching up again.
Always an absolute pleasure. Always appreciate the invite for you.
All right. Have a good one, Mike. Travel safe, man.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take it easy.